With Australia's top spies warning of unprecedented attempts from foreign interests to influence local politics, how well prepared is the government ahead of May's federal election? A new list of foreign lobbyists operating in Australia is supposed to help keep track of those who seek to sway political debate, but there's been an underwhelming response to signing on to the register, leading to calls for the government to take the issue more seriously. Here's political reporter Tom Eagledon.
The question of who should go onto the list is open to interpretation based on foreign affiliations and local lobbying activities.
We had a look at it and we decided that there was absolutely no need.
Mark Liebler is the national chairman of the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. It's one of the country's oldest and best known information sharing organisations.
No, we don't have a link with the Israeli government at all. And we don't act in association with the Israeli government. We do talk to the Israeli embassy from time to time to find out what their views are on a variety of things, but then we make up our own mind.
The government says there are two rules for who goes onto the list. The first is whether there's an arrangement, to use the word in the legislation, with a foreign entity. It's a broad definition.
We do not act on behalf of or in association with a foreign government, and we are not funded by a foreign government.
May I ask where your funding does come from?
You may ask. Privately. Private donors. That's where it comes from.
Okay. Because the legislation and the advice from government talks about an arrangement with a foreign power.
You've said that. You've asked me that a few times. I said there is no arrangement with a foreign power. Can I be clearer than that?
The second rule looks at what activities the organisation undertakes.
90% of our work is information, it's education. We have a publication which comes out once a month, so it's fairly straightforward.
Do you not also arrange for and perhaps even partly fund the travel of some of our politicians to Israel to take a look at some of these issues?
Yeah, absolutely we do. So, what's that got to do with registering?
Well, I guess the second part of what's required is the lobbying side. So you're not denying that you engage in lobbying, presumably?
Well, we have a view which from time to time we get across to governments, to opposition, to politicians, to opinion makers.
In fact, they take people to occupied Palestine as well, and they have to be coordinating their activities with foreign states. Otherwise, they simply couldn't get in. They couldn't organise meetings. They wouldn't organise briefing packs, nothing of the sort.
That's Clinton Fernandez, Professor of International Affairs and Politics at the Australian Defence Force Academy, who says the list is looking sparse.
There are certain groups that usually want to affect foreign policy and indeed Australian domestic policy that don't seem to be on it.
Such as?
You've got the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network, which has a view of the future of Palestine, and the Australia-Israel-Jewish Affairs Committee that has a different view.
And even those who maintain they act independently might be ensnared in the legislation, he says, because of the broad definitions it applies to relationships with foreign actors.
Any group that's in solidarity with some cause would have to coordinate its activities with others overseas.
Also absent from the list are several Chinese organisations, especially those which answer to Beijing's United Front movement, the brainchild of President Xi Jinping. Clinton Fernandez says the recent US election shows the potential for the undermining of democracy and the need for an effective list.
I would have thought it should have been organised correctly at the first go. But it should definitely happen before the election.
The new American ambassador to Australia, Arthur Culverhouse, says Washington's keeping a close eye on developments.
In terms of foreign interference, we've had issues in the United States, and we will share, of course, with our Australian allies and partners our experience, and of course we will continue to share any and all intelligence in that regard.
And that's the new US Ambassador to Australia, Arthur Culverhouse Jr., ending Tom Eagledon's report.